Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
By the time they reached the cabin Friday evening, all five of them agreed the weekend was long overdue. They had been friends since their early 20s, back when getting everyone together required little more than a couple of phone calls and deciding who was buying the beer. 15 years later, between jobs, marriages, kids, and everything else that filled their calendars, they could go months without all being in the same place. Travis had finally organized the trip. He found a cabin at a lake about an hour away and told everyone to keep one weekend open. The plan was simple. Spend Saturday fishing, grill whatever they caught, then drink some beer and play poker that night. The lake was popular enough to have other cabins scattered around it, along with a campground and small marina. But their place sat by itself with woods behind it and a short path leading down to a private dock. It was secluded without actually being remote, which was exactly what they wanted. The cabin itself was basic but comfortable, with two bedrooms, a loft, a small kitchen, and a living room facing the water. Ben claimed the first bedroom, before anyone had finished unloading, immediately starting the same kind of arguments they had been having since they were 25. Jason accused him of choosing the only decent mattress. Travis reminded everyone that he had rented the place, and Aaron announced that he didn't care where he slept as long as nobody snored beside him. Dan ignored all of them and carried the cooler toward the porch. By sunset, they had unpacked grilled burgers and started a fire near the lake. They spent the evening talking about people they hadn't seen in years and giving one another a hard time about how much older they had all gotten. The only unusual moment came shortly before dark when Jason pointed toward the tree line on the far side of the lake. Something fairly large seemed to be moving between the trees, and all five of them watched as a dark shape passed behind a stand of trees and disappeared before anyone got a clear look. Dan thought it was a deer. Ben said it might have been a bear, mostly because he liked the idea of telling people they had spent the weekend surrounded by wildlife. Travis said if it was a bear, he was perfectly happy with it staying on the opposite shore, and within a few minutes, they had forgotten about it. Saturday went almost exactly as planned. They spent most of the day fishing from a rented boat, with Jason catching the most and Aaron catching almost nothing. By the time they returned to the cabin, everyone was tired, sunburned, and hungry. They cleaned the fish near the dock, cooked outside, and stayed there until the temperature dropped enough that sitting beside the water stopped being comfortable. Once the sun disappeared, the cabin seemed much more isolated than it had during the day. A few distant lights remained visible across the lake, but the woods behind them were completely black. The porch light illuminated part of the yard and the beginning of the path toward the dock, while everything beyond it disappeared into darkness. Nobody was bothered by it. They had wanted privacy, and now they had it. Inside, they cleared the kitchen table and started their poker game. Music played quietly in the background, beers were scattered around the table, and within 20 minutes, Travis was accusing Ben of cheating, even though nobody had enough money involved to make cheating worthwhile. It was sometime after 10 when Dan stopped dealing and looked toward the front of the cabin. He asked if anyone else had heard something on the porch, and once everyone stopped talking, they heard one of the boards give a slow creak. They had spent enough time outside to recognize the sound. A few of the porch boards complained whenever someone stepped on them, and after several seconds, another creak followed, this one closer to the front door. Ben immediately said, It was probably an animal. They had seen raccoons around the marina, and there were plenty of other things in the woods that might wander onto a porch looking for food. Travis switched on the outside light and looked through the window beside the door. When he couldn't see anything, he stepped onto the porch with his phone flashlight and checked around the railing and along the side of the cabin. He came back less than a minute later without finding anything. Jason asked whether he had checked for the bear, and Travis told him the bear had apparently learned how to disappear. That was enough to get everyone laughing again, and within a minute, the poker game had resumed. Maybe 15 minutes later, something tapped sharply against the window behind Aaron. He jumped hard enough to spill part of his beer, which immediately became more entertaining to everyone else than whatever had made the sound. Aaron insisted something had hit the glass, while Ben suggested the local raccoon had developed a sense of humor. They checked anyway, but there was nothing outside. That side of the cabin faced the woods, and several trees grew nearby, so Travis figured a twig or pine cone could have struck the glass. Aaron pointed out that none of the branches actually reached the window, but the explanation still seemed reasonable enough that nobody spent much time worrying about it. A few minutes later, Jason stopped near the kitchen window and stared outside. He said he had seen eyes near the edge of the trees. Travis turned off the kitchen light, and all five of them moved closer to the window, while Jason pointed toward an opening between two trees roughly 30 yards away. For several seconds, they saw nothing. But then Travis aimed his flashlight through the glass, and two small points reflected back from the darkness before disappearing. Ben said it was a raccoon. Dan suggested a deer. In the dark, none of them could judge the distance well enough to know how high the eyes had actually been. So either explanation seemed reasonable. They turned the kitchen light back on and returned to the table. For the next half hour, everything was quiet, the beer kept disappearing, and the poker game got louder. Whatever had been around the cabin seemed to have moved on. Then another knock came from one of the windows. This one wasn't on the side facing the trees. It came from the opposite side of the cabin, directly behind Travis, and every one of them heard it. The conversation stopped as Travis turned toward the glass. There were no trees close to that window, no branches hanging over it, and nothing outside that should have been able to strike it. They sat quietly for several seconds, waiting to see if it happened again. It did. Another deliberate knock sounded against the glass. For a few seconds after the second knock, nobody said anything. The sound hadn't been loud enough to suggest someone was trying to break the window, but it had been distinct. Two separate knocks against the glass on a side of the cabin where there were no branches or anything else obvious that could have caused them. Ben was the first to speak, suggesting a bird or bat might have hit the window, although even he didn't sound particularly convinced. Travis pointed out that whatever it was would have needed to hit nearly the same spot twice, then reminded everyone that five grown men were sitting inside getting worked up over something that was probably wandering around looking for food. That settled them down enough to return to the poker game, although the mood had changed. They were still joking, but every sound outside got more attention than it had before. A branch snapping somewhere in the woods quieted the table for a few seconds, while something moving through dry leaves near the back of the cabin made Aaron glance toward the window before forcing himself to look back at his cards. Ben finally said what everyone else was thinking. There were animals in the woods, and animals made noise. About 20 minutes later, something moved along the side of the cabin. It was heavier than the earlier noises, almost like something brushing against the exterior wall as it passed, beginning near the kitchen and continuing toward the front corner before disappearing. Jason grabbed the flashlight and swept the beam through the nearest window, but whatever had been there was already gone. A deer seemed like the most reasonable explanation. They had seen something large across the lake the evening before, and an animal moving through brush could easily sound heavier than expected when they couldn't see it. They were willing to accept that until the porch creaked again. This time nobody went to check. The sound moved slowly from one end of the porch toward the other, with long pauses between each creak. It didn't sound like something running around so much as weight settling onto one board and then another. Aaron suggested their raccoon had come back, and Jason pointed out that they were now blaming the same raccoon for nearly everything that had happened since dark. That got a laugh, although not much of one. A few moments later, something hit the outside wall hard enough to rattle the window. And for the first time that night, nobody immediately offered an explanation. Travis started toward the front door, but Dan told him there was no reason to go outside. When Travis asked what he thought was out there, Dan admitted he had no idea, which was exactly why he didn't think anyone needed to go looking for it. They turned off the lights and checked the windows instead. The porch and yard appeared empty, while beyond the reach of the outdoor light, the woods were completely black. Jason aimed the flashlight toward the place where they had seen the reflected eyes earlier, slowly moving the beam along the tree line until two points of light suddenly reflected back. Everyone saw them before they disappeared again. Ben said it was probably the raccoon, while Dan suggested a deer. But reflective eyes in the woods proved almost nothing, and in the darkness, none of them could judge the distance well enough to know how high off the ground they actually were. That explanation was reasonable, and they were happy to keep it. By then, though, the poker game was essentially over. Cards still covered the table, but nobody was paying much attention to them. The music had been turned off so they could hear what was happening outside, which only made every small sound from the cabin seem louder. Sometime after 11, they heard movement near the dock. At first, Travis thought it was water hitting the posts, but then came a heavier sound from the path, followed by something crashing through the brush near the shoreline. The trees between the cabin and the lake blocked most of the view, leaving them with only a narrow look at the path and a strip of water beyond it. Then someone called Travis's name. The voice came from somewhere near the lake, not loud or frightened, but almost casual, like someone standing near the dock trying to get his attention. Every man in the cabin went still, and for a moment nobody seemed to understand what they had just heard. Aaron finally asked if everyone else had heard it too. They had. Ben suggested there might be someone outside, maybe another renter or someone who had walked over from elsewhere around the lake. But the nearest cabins weren't particularly close, and anyone wandering through those woods at night should have had a flashlight. They waited, but nothing moved outside. Then Jason asked why the voice had sounded like Dan. Everyone looked at him. Dan had been sitting at the table the entire time, and at first he laughed and said they were imagining things. Then Travis admitted he had thought exactly the same thing. The voice hadn't just been male. It had sounded enough like Dan that Travis had almost answered automatically. Aaron agreed, and so did Ben. That was when Dan stopped laughing. They spent the next few minutes trying to make it ordinary. Maybe sound carried strangely across the lake. Maybe someone had shouted something that only sounded like Travis's name. Maybe, because Dan had been talking shortly beforehand, their minds had connected the outside voice with his. All of those explanations were possible, and for a moment, they were almost enough. Then the voice came again. This time it came from somewhere beyond the porch and said Travis's name more clearly, and once again, it sounded like Dan. Nobody laughed after that. Travis walked to the front door and turned the deadbolt, then checked the other door as well. Whatever was outside could stay outside until morning. For the next several minutes, nobody moved away from the table. The second voice had changed everything because up until then, every strange sound had come with an explanation they could at least consider. An animal could walk across the porch, a raccoon or deer could account for the reflected eyes, and something in the woods could brush against the wall or knock against a window. None of that explained why all five of them had heard Travis's name called from outside in a voice that sounded like Dan. They tried anyway. Ben suggested someone farther down the shoreline might have called out, and the sound had carried across the water. Aaron wondered whether one of them had said Travis's name inside the cabin at the same moment they heard something outside and their brains had connected the two. Nobody remembered anyone speaking, and neither explanation accounted for why the voice had sounded so much like Dan. Dan seemed especially uncomfortable. He had spent most of the evening joking about the noises, but now he kept looking toward the windows as though he expected to see someone standing on the other side. Travis checked the locks again and closed the curtains over the largest windows, making the cabin feel smaller, but somehow safer. For a while, everything outside went quiet. They picked up their cards again, more for something to do than because anyone wanted to keep playing. Nobody turned the music back on, and the conversation stayed low. Nearly half an hour passed before they heard footsteps moving through dry leaves near the back wall, slowly coming closer until they seemed to stop at the edge of the cabin. No one went to the window. A few seconds later, something lightly scraped along the siding, followed by a single knock against the wall. Ben muttered that it was probably the raccoon again, but nobody laughed. A moment later, the footsteps moved away. That became the pattern for much of the next hour. They would hear movement outside for a minute or two, followed by long stretches of silence. Sometimes it seemed to pass through the brush behind the cabin. Other times, one of the porch boards would creak. Whatever it was, never tried the doors or hit the windows again, and the voice didn't return. By 1 a.m, they had given up any idea of sleeping. Dan made coffee, Aaron switched from beer to water, and eventually Jason suggested they could simply get in the trucks and leave. For a moment, everyone considered it. The vehicles were only about 40 feet away near the gravel drive, but after listening to something move around the cabin for hours, nobody particularly wanted to step outside into the dark. They decided to stay put. Sometime after 2, the sound stopped completely. Ben eventually dozed on the couch while the others stayed awake and waited for the windows to begin turning gray. When the first light finally appeared, Travis opened one of the curtains. The yard looked completely ordinary. The porch was exactly as they had left it. The fire pit sat near the water, and nothing appeared obviously disturbed. Once there was enough daylight to see clearly, all 5 of them went outside together. They found no scratches around the windows or sign that anyone had tried to get inside. A few weeds were flattened near the foundation where they had heard something brushing against the wall, but an animal could easily have caused that. Near the tree line, several impressions marked a patch of soft dirt, although none were clear enough to identify. Ben thought they were probably deer tracks distorted by the wet ground. Jason wasn't as sure, but there was certainly no perfect footprint they could photograph as proof of anything. Along the path to the dock, a section of brush had been pushed down as though something fairly large had moved through it. Again, a deer could have done that. The dock itself looked normal, and across the lake, the opposite shoreline seemed completely harmless in the morning light. For a while, nobody mentioned the voice, then Dan finally asked whether everyone still thought it had sounded like him. Travis said yes, and Jason and Aaron agreed. Ben hesitated longer than the others, but eventually admitted that was what he remembered hearing, too. Dan had no explanation for it, and neither did anyone else. Before leaving, Travis contacted the property owner and casually asked about wildlife around the cabin. The owner said deer and raccoons were everywhere, coyotes occasionally came close, and while a bear wasn't impossible, sightings in that area were rare. He wasn't particularly surprised when Travis mentioned the knocking and said animals sometimes wandered onto the porch. Then Travis told him they had heard a voice near the lake. The owner paused before asking what kind of voice, since Travis only said someone had called his name twice. He didn't mention that it sounded like Dan. The owner said other renters had occasionally reported strange sounds from the woods after dark, including voices that were difficult to place. He didn't offer some dramatic explanation or local legend. He simply suggested that sound carried strangely around the water. Nobody found that especially satisfying. They packed sooner than planned and were on the road before noon. For years afterward, the 5 of them continued arguing about what had happened. Ben still leaned toward animals and strange acoustics. Aaron thought someone might have been messing with them, although he could never explain who would have been wandering around an isolated rental in the middle of the night. Jason remained convinced there had been something in the woods they couldn't identify, while Dan never settled on an explanation at all. Travis probably came closest to saying what all of them believed. Most of the night could be explained. The eyes might have belonged to a raccoon. The noises could have been deer or other animals moving around the property. And even the knocks probably had some ordinary cause. The voice was the one thing none of them could make fit. All 5 had heard Travis's name called twice from somewhere outside, and all 5 remembered it, sounding like Dan even though he was sitting at the table with them. Eventually, they stopped trying to decide exactly what had been around the cabin that night. They still took fishing trips together, still played poker, and still gave one another a hard time about almost everything, but they never went back to that lake. Whatever moved through those woods could have been an animal. Most of what they heard probably was. But animals don't usually know your name, and they certainly shouldn't know what your friends sound like.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Modo Casino? Modo has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Modo. I like my slots hot. Modo's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Modo Casino. Modo Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Modo, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Modo Casino.
Modo's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots.
You can't beat that.
So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Modo, America's social casino.
Play for free on Modo.us.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.